Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening for everyone out there in Blog Talk Radio land, all across the nation. We just say praise the Lord for another opportunity to hello to you, and I receive your hellos back. God bless each and every one of your households, and may whatever you're doing, hopefully you're just as excited as I am to just let's get started on the broadcast. Let's see what God has for us today. Amen? So it's been a couple days without hearing from each other, so make sure you send in those emails. I'm able to go through a couple today, so praise the Lord, and I know I have more to go through, so I will get to them. I will get to them, and we're going to send out replies. And for all the praise reports, thank you, Lord Jesus. The manifestation of God's Word is just developing in each and every one of our lives, on our jobs, in our cars. We're just hearing of all the different things that God is doing. I'm so glad that we serve a God that is a living God, that is a true God, that is a God that is able to look outside of the natural world and to come into the supernatural and touch deep down inside of our ugly situations that we even walk into ourselves when he's been telling us, no, that's not the way. Sometimes we still push our way to our destruction. But he looks beyond our faults. Can I get an amen out there? He looks beyond our faults. And he still recognizes and meets our needs. So that's the God that I serve. That's the God that we have available to serve. It's up to you. He's alive and a living God. Let's just go into prayer and let him know that we need him. In our prayer, in our hearts, just let him know that we're inviting him to come and take over this ministry. Talk to us, each individual. Let him know that we're nothing without him. We can't speak, we can't sing, we can't praise, we can't teach nor preach without the Holy Spirit. So in the name of the Father, the precious Son, and the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, we just give you praise. And I just want to say thank you, Lord, because you didn't back then. But I just have to say thank you. I'm not asking you for anything, but just saying, receive my praise. Receive my worship. Hallelujah, I thank you. I thank you for strength and health. I thank you. I thank you for, dear Father, lifting up the ones that are just torn down from all of the woes and the trials that's going on in their lives. But, oh, when they surrender it all to you, dear Father, you put those pieces back together every time, each and every time. Thank you for your patience with us, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for putting your arms around the families that are in bereavement right now, dear Father. We just say thank you, Jesus. We ask, dear Father, that you just accept our invitation to come and live inside us. Take over this ministry, dear Father. We come to hear from you. We've been reading and studying, and we want to hear directly from you together as we study tonight and learn tonight. We ask blessings on Ernie, his sister, and his entire family, all of the doctors that is on staff, as he's fighting for just to live life. Just we hold him up, dear Father, as he wants to give up. We just hold him up. Our prayers is just it's up under his arms. Our prayers to you, dear Father, is his prayers. Our prayers, dear Father, is interceding for his body right now that is trying to fail. Our prayers right now, dear Father, is interceding for his mind, dear Father, and as the enemy tries to devour his mind and his thoughts, but we squash it. You have been given the authority by your Father, and you have given us the authority to call out all the demonic spirits in your name. And that's what we do as we stand and intercede in behalf of Brother Ernie. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Everyone that touched them any medical personnel of any sort. Hallelujah. The whole household may just be blessed, but then in the blessings of an anointed man. We receive all that you have for him right now. And we know that all good gifts come from the Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We become thanking you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Now allow me to just decrease to all the listeners right now. Allow us all to step back. As we open up our hearts, we open up our minds. And we invite you to come and fill us, Jesus. Fill us with your precious Holy Ghost. Fill us, dear Father, till we run over and it starts to touch even our enemies, dear Father, are touched by your spirit. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're here. You're here right now. Right now. Right in the midst. You're here. May we receive your Holy Spirit. May we receive your word. May we believe in your word. And may we start to live your word. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. God is so good. It's just, oh, he's so good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. If you haven't felt him yet, if you don't know what it feels like to just be in his presence, all I can tell you is that all of the things that you're looking for in that liquor bottle is here. All of the things that you're looking for in the bottom of that bong, God has it. It's right here. It's that high. The once you drink of his waters, you don't get thirsty anymore. He's constantly here with you. All of the things that you're looking for, you're spending all of your money for to get that high. You know it's just a temporary high because that thing won't last for long, and you got to go find another toy, another something else. And nothing wrong with having a toy. So hear me from the Spirit. But, whoa, you know that feeling you get when you get that new toy. What if you get to feel that anytime you wanted to without spending a dime? Hallelujah. And whatever you give to someone, that's not spending. Because God said, I gave it to you to give to them. I just have you as the middle person to give to them. I'm just checking to see if you're obedient to give to them. Amen. Giving is a part of that showing. I wish I could just go around the world giving. Just giving. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know my heart. And your desires is what we're asking to be placed in my heart. And I will run and chase after your desires. I personally am asking God this year to just remove, as I dump out, he's ready. So as I remove all of the desires from my heart, that's my desires. I want to empty it out. I've laid them down at the altar. And so it's a daily thing just to empty out all of the desires. And I ask him to just replenish, refill me with his desires. I want to chase hard after all of his desires. All of his desires. And his desires can't get mixed up in my heart with my desires. It doesn't work that way. He's here. My desires are not. He knows all. My desires does not. So I ask that all of my desires, as I lay them down at the altar daily, that he take them, move that. Do what he needs to do with that. And he's doing just what he said he would do. He's opening up my eyes, and he's opening up my heart. And it's, oh my, it's an awesome feeling as he places himself inside of my heart. More of you, Lord, more of you. More, 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 more of you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Our scripture tonight is going to come from 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. And it's going to start just a couple verses here. 1 Peter 2, we're going to start with verse 9 and go through 12. And we read verse 9. But you are a chosen people and a royal priesthood, a holy nation, of people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Now, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Verse 11 says, Dear friend, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires, which war against your soul. Live such good lives amongst the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. Hallelujah, that is a mouthful. Can I just read it one more time? I just get joy out of it so much. Open up your heart, really hear this, okay? Second chapter, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a warrior priesthood, a holy nation. Do you look at yourself like that? It says you are a people belonging to God. So many other things in life try to attach themselves to you. So many other people try to claim you and attach themselves to you. But it tells me right here that you are a people belonging to God. That's first of all. And then it says that you may declare the praises of him, the one who called you out of that darkness. You know your darkness. Some people around you just may know some of the things that you were in the dark, but they don't know all the details about what was going on in the dark. But you know your darkness. You know that sin for nature. Hallelujah. So that same one, that's who you belong to. The one that you may declare the praises of him, because he's called you out of that darkness into his wonderful light, never changing, his wonderful light. Let me just say something real quick. The other day I woke up and it was just so much fog. When I walked out of the door, it was just beautiful fog. It was just like London fog, well, I might say. But you know what we would consider deep fog here. So as I was heading to work, you know, and it's about 6:15 a.m. and it's dark and you really can't see anywhere. You got to depend on your headlight to try to get through. And it was just wonderful. I was just like, Holy Spirit, I hear you. This is the way that we are. The shepherd is our light. And we are just lost sheep if we turn off our lights and try to make it on this journey. See, the shepherd, again, is our headlight. And as long as we just turn on the light, as long as we look, keep our eyes on the light, don't go too fast. Stay right there with him. He will lead you to your true destination. Our true destination is here on earth. He's working to be in his presence, to be more like him, so we can get to our ultimate destination, and that's eternity with him. But he's already gone ahead and prepared for us. Got it ready for us. It's ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's continue on to verse 10. It says, once you were not a people, but now, you're out of that darkness, you're into the light, but now you are the people of God. It says, once you not received his mercy, but now you have received mercy. And then verse 11 says, dear friend, just making it so personable to you, wherever you're at, crack at it, whatever it is, that behavior that you're doing, exhibiting, he says, dear friend, I really urge you, as aliens and strangers in this world, I urge you to abstain from any sexual desire. Got to clean out your heart. Those desires in your heart, you got to go give that back. Throw that mess down. You don't need that. I urge you to abstain from sexual and sinful desires of any nature. Because those sinful desires, they war against your soul. Your soul is in a battle. It's warring against all of those sinful desires you got inside of you. And I hear someone saying that, you know, every time I try to do something wrong, I'm called out on it. Because that sinful desire is fighting with wrestling with your soul. And the Holy Spirit is not going to let you go out like that. It's too many people praying for you right now. So I urge you to abstain from the sinful desires which war against your soul. And what do you do? I want you to, God said, live such good lives amongst the pagans. Amongst the people that is right there around you, that's claiming this world, that's enjoying the things of nature. He said, I want you to live such a good life among those same ones. And though they may accuse you of doing the wrong things, they may accuse you of all kinds of different things. But even though their accusations are against you, the Holy Spirit said that I will reveal myself through you, that they may see your good deeds, and then they will help to glorify God on the day that he visits us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your powerful word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. We want to take time just to talk about a couple of things as we, again, we enter into this new year. Again, just God's plan for our life. You know, and then discovering some of the things about when we offer you to come for the invitation to accept Jesus Christ into your life. We want to talk a little bit about that situation, okay? All right. So, you know, as we search to discover God's plan for our lives, we as faith of Christ and we that have been in the Christian life for years, and we continue to grow. We continue to grow. So it's always something new that we should be seeking in our lives to match up and make sure that we're in God's plan for our life. When we're doing that, I just thought of three different things that the Holy Spirit has put on my heart for you to consider. And the first one is just glorifying God. Have you considered, are you really glorifying God? You know, it's no need to, we talk all the time about walking around with the biggest cross you have, but you're doing all the demonic spirit things. It's living inside of you, and you're inviting more to come inside of you by just denying some of the things that the flesh is wanting. When you give into your flesh for every little thing that it wants, I don't care how big your Bible is. If you're not living by it, it's just weighing you down. I don't care how big your cross is. It's just giving you shoulder aches or back pain. What are you sitting upon? It's the life that you live. So we need to make sure we're glorifying God. You know, we're commanded to let our light shine. That light that God has given to us, it says, let our light shine before men so we will bear spiritual fruit that glorifies the Lord. And as our life increasingly follows the pattern of our Savior's, if our light is shining and we're seeking after that light, and if we seek, we'll find it, right? So if we're seeking, he's giving, and what he's given to us as we pass it on and start letting that light shine by just giving it out everywhere we go. We're not just deciding, I'm not going to turn on my light today, because today is the day that the flesh gets what it wants. And I'm going to get drunk, and I'm going to get loose, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to say this. No. I'm talking about maturing from that. Getting to a point in life that you're too mature for that. Getting to a point of life that you can actually, your spirit is more powerful than your flesh. But you can have flesh now. You can step away from that plate of food. You can step away from doing all the things that is in a sinful nature, that you can lay down your sinful desires and ask God to replace them with his desires. So as our lives start to increase in happiness, in joy, in peace, because we are following our Savior, His pattern, our thoughts will respond, will bring Jesus praise. Our thoughts will start to bring Jesus praise, so others around us will start to recognize the God in us. Amen? And it puts other people to Him. They look at Him, and they want some of that. They want some of that joy. They want some of that anointing that they see on you that they can't explain. When you're glorifying God, that's what those around you would think. Amen? We've already read in the scriptures that, you know, that if we live this life of glorifying God, even though the enemy, the pagans, try to bring all kinds of accusations against us, they can't stand again. They can't refuse the light that is shining. They will see the God in us. And then the second thing to consider when, as we search to discover God's plan for our life, is just conforming to Christ's sight. And we speak about this often. You know, in considering any decision, we should ask ourselves, before we actually do the thing, when we're making our mind up to that action that we're about to take, will this help me become more like Jesus? If I decide to do this, will it help me become more like Jesus? Or will it tempt me in my weaker areas? And will it cause me to turn away from Him? The things that I said I'm not going to do anymore. All the resolutions that I've already just made 9 days ago. This decision that I'm getting ready to make right now. Will it draw me closer to Jesus? Or will it tempt me in my weaker areas to do the things that I'm already weak at, that I'm going to just get in? Will it cause me to turn away from Jesus? Will you say, oh, Jesus, I know you're not going to agree with this. I'm going to have to turn away for a minute. He still sees you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Will it cause you to just turn away from Him? And see, if we submit our minds and our emotions to the Lord, everyone, we've got to submit our minds, cover our head with the helmet of salvation. Submit to the Lord. Just dedicate the whole day to Him. Dedicate your mind, your spirit. You have to, it may be a continual thing that you've got to remind yourself. God, I'm dedicating my life to you. I'm dedicating this day to you. Whatever I speak today, I'm dedicating it to you. And it'll make you stop and kind of conform it and consider before you say something. Amen? So if we just submit our minds and our emotions to the Lord, His Spirit will build Jesus' character, quality in our lives. His Spirit will just build up His character in our lives. We have got to do the submitting, and His Spirit will take over and start to build upon your character and turn it into Jesus-like character. It's like a builder. He will build upon what you give, what you submit to. And then as we rely on the Holy Spirit, we got to rely. He's the one that's interceding for us. He's the interpreter for us. So as we rely on the Holy Spirit, always know that He will help us make those wise decisions. He will help us and guide us safely past those temptations that you know that you're weak in. But you got to do what? Rely on the Holy Spirit. You can't rely on who's presenting this thing to you. You can't rely on how much fun that they're telling you that you're going to have by doing this. You can't even rely on how that thing made you feel the last time you did. You got to rely on the Holy Spirit. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit. And then that's when we're able to get past some of those weaker past temptations. And then the third thing to just consider, again, when we search to discover God's plan for our lives, we need to consider following the Lord's will. you know, when deciding how to proceed with whatever decision that you're up against, it's always wise to ask, is this in line with God's known will? See, throughout the scriptures, the Heavenly Father has revealed what pleases him. See, you say, well, I don't really know what God's known will is. It's in the scriptures. It's in the scriptures. Let's find it. If you don't know where it's at, you can reach out to me at walkwithmeGod@AOL.com. And I will make sure that we get together and we find the scriptures that match up to your situation that you have in that struggle in deciding which way to go. Okay? We can do it together. We need each other. Follow the Lord, his will. And the scriptures tell us his thoughts, how he thinks. What was he thinking when this here decision came up? What happened in this here thing? What was his thought? What was his reaction? What does he say about it? He has the final say. What is his final word on it? Throughout the scriptures, he has revealed what pleases him. There's no secret. He won't keep anything like that a secret from us. It's right here for us. And his commands are clear regarding the way that born-again believers should live. You know, so many people try to turn it around to fit their lifestyle, to fit the things that they're doing in their life. But the scriptures are very clear. Very clear how born-again believers should live. And you watch yourself because the things that you're doing, you're accountable. You're held accountable for. But somebody else sees that you're doing it, you are claiming to be a Christian. If you've been born again, if you're saved, you are accountable for everything that you're doing out in the world. Because they're watching you. They may not say nothing to you. But the next time that you try to say, God bless you, the next time that you try to speak any word into their lives, believe me, they're going to run back in their mind, even if they don't say anything to you. And if you do too much to say too much to them, they'll tell you. You were doing this, you were doing that. You know, the Bible says, let my left hand know what the right hand is doing. You have to keep yourself separate from the world, especially when you're working on different issues than in your weak area. You just can't be willy-nilly and open up out in the world all of your weaknesses to the world. Do you know that you have a problem with fornication? You just can't go right up in some stripper bar. You can't just go sit there in the bar if you know that you're having a problem with drinking. You can't open yourself up to the world like that. And you say, oh, no one's going to notice me that I'm on the deacon board. No one's going to notice me that, you know, I'm the minister over here. No one's going to notice me if I jump right in here. Yes, they are. You think the enemy's just going to allow you to stroll up in there and not let someone know you? Opposing you. Just don't think that he's on your side. Amen? God's will. God's will. He has to reveal them on the way that born-again believers should live. You see, in our homes, our businesses, and our community life, we are to function according to his will. They should all match up. Your home life, your community life, your church life, they should all match up. You shouldn't be some multi-talented mind that's going all around. That's just the dream. You shouldn't be living different lives with different people in different areas of your life. That's sickness. But our home, our business, our community, our church, all of those should be functioning according to God's will. So wherever you are, don't let yourself be pressured into actions or decisions that will be displeasing to God. I know they're going to tell you, oh, man, you've got to come to this one, though. Just one more time I can hear somebody. Just come and hang with me one more time. Let's just go do this one more time. Let's rob one more bank, one more house. just one more time. Wherever you are, whatever your position is, don't let yourself be pressured into actions or decisions that will be displeasing to God. And then you have to train yourself to stop. You really do have to train yourself to stop and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal whether each choice will bring God's glory. Will it help to develop Christ's character in you? And will it keep you in the center of God's plan and His purpose? Let's say that again. If you're taking notes today, this is a great time to jot it down. If you don't get it here, go back into the archives and go back over the program again and make sure that you get all the details of the things that you're going to need to help you on your way for God's plan for your life. Okay? So again, you need to train yourself to stop and ask the Holy Spirit to just reveal to you whether the choice that you are trying to decide to make, whether that choice is going to bring God's glory. Will God give me glory from this decision if I go this way? If that decision will help to develop Christ's character in you, will it build up God's character in you that the world sees God through this decision that you're getting ready to make? And then you want to make sure that you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal, will the choice that you're getting ready to make, will it keep you in the center of God's plan, in the center of God's purpose, or will it move you farther away from the Lord? I encourage you to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the outcome of that choice that you're about to make. Now, I remind you, do not step ahead until you have an answer. Don't decide, I'm just going to go ahead and do it. Don't step ahead until you have an answer. Amen? Amen. That's probably what we want to talk a little bit about this summer, continuing with the plan of our life and just discovering life's purpose. You know, those who know and follow God's directions will experience that spiritual joy. They will experience that spiritual peace and contentment. That is those who know and follow God's directions. Now, to discover our life's purpose, somebody say, I've been working on this for the longest. Somebody say, I've been needing this. Well, here it is. To discover our life's purpose, the first step, which makes all the other steps possible, is to, you've got to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. In other words, we must be saved. Amen? Now, I know that you may hear from different people with different titles, and some of them are well-respected people, but they said you don't have to be saved, but we must be saved. And then, our part in our salvation, what's the word saved? Our part, we have to do something. We're always looking to for God to do everything, and we think that we don't have to do anything, but, you know, we have to work. Amen? That's why we have to have faith with our works. If not, then our works are even dead. Amen. But our part in our salvation is to acknowledge that we are sinners. And that is so hard for some of us. The enemy really just has to beat us up and say, well, you know, you don't have to say that. That's a bad thing for you to say. That, you know, that means you're putting yourself down. You're lifting yourself up, sisters and brothers, for the truth. We have to be able to admit and acknowledge that we are sinners. To admit to God that we've lived in rebellion against Him because we want it our own way, basically. We want things our way. So we live in rebellion of God. Romans 3:23 is a prime example that explains the same thing. and then perfecting our belief that Jesus' death on the cross fully paid for our sin debt, and then asking God for forgiveness. Okay, so let's do it again. So again, we must confess and acknowledge that we are sinners, that we're sinners that have rebelled against God simply because we wanted our own way. We wanted to try it our way. And then we must profess our belief that Jesus' death, his death on the cross, fully paid for our sin debt, the sinners that we are, that he died on the cross and his death paid for those sins. We were born into sin, but it paid for those sins. We don't have to continue to pay for them. He paid for our sins. We don't have to live in those sins, Constable. He paid for our sins. Amen? And then we have to ask God's forgiveness. We have to ask God's forgiveness. And a lot of times it's hard for us to ask anyone to forgive us. But we have to ask God to forgive us. Our Creator, the one who knows all, the one who has all of us, all the answers, we have to ask God for our forgiveness. If we recognize in Jesus as personal Lord and Savior, then we commit our lives to him when we do that. We're recognizing him as our personal one-on-one bodyguard, our Lord, our Savior. We commit our lives to him. And since he is now in charge of our lives, our orders and directions will come from him. Not from the people of the world, not from the things that Solomon did, not from the flashing lights, but our orders have to come from him. That's why it's important that we let the Holy Spirit reveal to us the different things that we just spoke of. Our decisions, will it bring us closer to Christ? Will it bring us into his purpose? Will it glorify him? You haven't become part of God's family. Once you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, once you have confessed your sin, once you have asked for forgiveness, you're a part of God's family. You are part of God's family. And having become part of God's family, we have his Spirit to help us discover and carry out our Father's plan. He said, I will never leave you. So his Spirit is still with us, here to help us. See, God's purpose for his children includes sanctification. It includes stewardship and service. You know, sanctification describes continuous growth in holiness. Continuous growth in holiness. And then Holy Spirit, with our cooperation, will transform our character to be more like the Lord's character. Now, stewardship means just managing according to God's priorities. Managing your time, your talent, managing the treasures that he's given to you. That's stewardship. And a service for the kingdom is just to mark our life as it marked the life of Jesus in Matthew 20 through 28. See, we serve our Father by obediently ministering to others. And I just wanted to add right here in our closing about serving. Parents, if you're not teaching your kids to be servants, we've got to teach our kids to stop and say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. To stop when somebody actually does something for you. I don't care how small it is. I don't care if you don't even like the gift that is given to you. We've got to stop and show them how to be grateful, how to stop and say thank you. In this world, day and time, we've got to stop and teach them how to respect their elders. How to help an elderly person across the street. How to help someone whose arms is full to reach out and take a moment and help them with whatever it is that they have. You know, if you don't teach them to do these things, instead of helping, they'll steal the things that are in arms. we've got to teach them to say, you know, God bless you, to pray for someone. And if you see that you're one of those parents who say, I just want to let them grow up like they want to, and when they get grown, they can make their decision whether they want to serve God or not. Let me tell you something. You're going to be held accountable for that, up first. That's number one. And you're destroying them. You're destroying yourself also. One day, God gives you the pleasure of living to become an old, elderly person yourself. Who's going to help you pick up your cane if you haven't taught them to serve? Who may not to give your bath if you haven't taught them to serve? Who's going to help you with your meals if you have not taught them to be a servant, to help someone along the way? Don't think just because your mama. Don't just think just because your daddy that they automatically going to do it. Because in this generation, we're raising up some kids that are so selfish. They want everything, and we're giving them everything, and they have no idea. They will not think twice about turning against you if it means that they can go get their happiness on somewhere else. So I remind each and every one of you, as we're looking at our sanctification, our stewardship, and our service, that goes to all of us, in all areas of our life. We should be doing it. The ones that are ahead of us should be doing it. The ones after us should be doing it. And as we speak the Lord's specific plan for life, we can be confident that it will include character transformation. You know, you say, oh, you're different. You know, you used to do this and that, but it's character transformation. Just tell somebody, God is performing a character transformation in my life. Yeah, you don't see my flesh as much as you used to. That's what you're saying that you see differently. Now you see my spirit where before you were seeing my flesh. Flesh is dictating. Now spirit is ruling things. Amen? Amen? So as you go into your character transformation, remember that he also will put in investments of our resources for his kingdom, for us to minister to others. Now, we spoke just now about, as we discovered in the life's purpose, that you must accept that Jesus Christ, that he gave his life, he died on the cross, and that he, by his death, it covers all of your sin. It pays for your sin. You must admit that you are a sinner. And you must confess your sin, ask for forgiveness, and invite Jesus to come part of your life. So I will give you that opportunity right now. I don't want you to go another day. I don't want you to go another moment. God loves you so much. He's waiting patiently in line right for you. Right for you. And all you have to do is just repeat these words after me. Here we go. God, I thank you for life. I thank you for life. I thank you for your love. Thank you for loving me enough that you gave your only begotten Son, that he would come and bring us back together to you. I am a sinner. I ask you to come and cleanse my heart. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me, and I believe that all of my sins was paid for by his death. I invite you to come and live inside of me. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior forever and evermore. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, please contact me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. This is your host, Minister Vaughn Dillon, signing off for tonight. You do the best that you can do today, and God will be there with you. I'll talk to you tomorrow, okay? God bless you. Bye-bye.